Blog Talk Radio.
Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for joining me. Tonight, I normally have enthusiasm, and I'm ready to go, and I'm excited. And tonight, I have to say, wow, I am, I'm excited about God all the time. I'm probably going to do some things a little different tonight. I see I got some of my my fellow ministers in the gospel of Christ on the line, and be prepared because I may pull on you tonight. And I, you know who you are. I won't call y'all out by name right now, but I see two for sure that is in the studio, and I'm just going to ask God to use you two mightily because I'm sure I'm going to pull on you. This week I was talking to my mentor, and we were in a, my mentor is also my boss, and my boss and my mentor is also my dad. So we were in a business meeting, and he always gives some words of wisdom and some nuggets to the team. And we are in a pivotal point right now in our business. Things are going pretty good. We have been struggling to get a new product introduced into the marketplace. We're not a new company, but our product is a new product. And it's actually, we've been working on it for about 3 years. And so the first 2 years is trial and error. And then the last year has just been trying to get people to see that it's here, that it's reliable, that it's sustainable, that it's changing lives. And so it's just really been very intense. And so in one of our meetings, in his attempt to tell us we're getting so close, don't quit. Don't get discouraged. Don't faint. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Galatians tell us that. Don't grow weary in well-doing. And so one of the comments he had made was this. He said that the question he provoked was, what was the difference between Peter and Judas? And when he said that, his response was is that Peter didn't quit. Judas quit. And if you don't know who Judas is one of the disciples that betrayed Jesus. So tonight, that stayed heavily on my heart, and it really made me grateful because it made me grateful to see that if you look through the gospel and you know the Bible and if you've been reading, you will understand that everybody that was pivotal, everybody that was mentioned in the Bible, everybody that the attention was drawn to, it always seemed that it was someone who was not perfect, someone that was not operating in perfection, someone that had flaws, character flaws. And so tonight's show that I'm going to be dealing with for us, and I want to do it to encourage us that even when we blow it, even when we miss the mark, even when we're not operating to the best of our abilities or to who God created us to be, that we still have the opportunity to get back on track. We still have the opportunity of the gift of salvation, the gift of repent. And that's what tonight's show is about, because I want to encourage you who have made a decision to listen in tonight that we all have the opportunity at repentance. And so what I'm going to present to you is this. The question I asked this week after coming out of that meeting was, the question I did ask is, what did Peter and Paul have in common that Judas didn't? And when I presented that question, I got all kinds of answers. All kinds of answers. A lot of religious answers, because you know we as a people could be very religious. We could do what we seem to be super duper spiritual. And sometimes it's not the super duper spiritual. Definitely, most of the time, it's not the super duper religious. But it's just the common, this common sense, I would believe. And so when I presented the question, I got so many different answers. Some people said, well, Peter and Paul had names started with a P and Judas's didn't. And, oh, Peter and Judas betrayed Jesus and the other two didn't. And so I let everybody give their answers. And the answer that came to me and that dropped in my spirit, it dropped in my spirit, but again, it was provoked from the previous conversation that I had with my mentor. And the difference between Peter and Paul and what they had in common that Judas didn't was that Peter and Paul didn't give up. They didn't quit. And Judas had the same opportunity as Paul the persecutor, or Peter, the denier, or Mary, the whore. He had the same opportunity. But when he made his mistake, when he blew it, when he missed the mark, you can't miss the mark no more than betraying Jesus. And so people see that because his betrayal cost Jesus his life. But his betrayal also, not only did it cost Jesus his life, it allowed us the gift of salvation. Because had Judas not betrayed Jesus, then the story probably would have played out a little different for us. Amen. So we look at Judas and we look at him and we frown down on him because we see the obvious consequences of his sin. But the reality of it is that many of us is denying Jesus, betraying Jesus daily in our own lives, with our choices, with our behavior, with our disobedience to the things that God's called us to that we're not doing. We're betraying him or we're denying him. Peter's sin was no greater than Judas' sin was no greater than Peter's sin when Peter denied him three times. But the difference was is that Peter was convicted by his actions, and I believe that Judas was convicted for his actions as well. The difference is that Judas' conviction really turned into condemnation and it caused him to kill himself. Where Peter's conviction turned or sin turned into conviction, where he was remorseful for what he did, and he was willing he felt bad, and he was willing to repent. He was willing to repent, and as a result, we know that Peter was the rock, that the church was built on Peter, that Peter went out and he told people about the gospel of Jesus, and as we continue to read the Bible, we see that Peter did a lot of good works and did a lot of things for the gospel, even after he had denied Jesus three times. So tonight's show, I really want to be an encouragement to you, to let you know that it's, the Word of God tells us that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Now, does this mean that you stay in a state of sin and a lifestyle of sin and that you continue to operate in it because you know that you have the opportunity to repent or that you know that you have a second chance? No, because it's the heart. It's the heart of man. And I would say, and I don't know for sure because the Bible does not break it down, but what it does do is tell us this thing, one thing that we both know for sure. It tells us that Peter was grieved by him denying. He felt bad that he had denied Jesus because he loved Jesus so much, because it was only a day before that he was willing to kill another man behind messing with his Jesus. Well, likewise, Judas sold Jesus out, and I believe that Judas's heart was just as heavy as Peter's heart. I believe Judas felt bad as well and really felt so bad because it said, tells us in the Bible that he felt so bad that he couldn't even live with the guilt that he had betrayed Jesus even unto death for mere morsels, for a couple of coins, and that he felt so bad about it that he couldn't think of anything else to do from his shame, but to kill himself. Again, looking at the two stories, what's the difference? Because when I compare the two, the only difference that I see is that one wasn't willing to give up and the other was willing to give up. The other allowed the enemy to cause them to take their life versus to push them closer to God to say, Lord, I blew it. One question that I present often since I've been doing my show is, I wonder if Adam would have only been honest and truthful and owned and been accountable and owned his stuff. How many of us go through life not owning our own stuff? And as a result of not owning our own stuff, coming up with excuses, blaming everybody else for why we did what we did or what we didn't do, it's always somebody else's fault. It's never our fault because we just don't want to own it, right? I believe Adam in the garden, when he was confronted by God after he had sinned. He was making excuses, and he was looking for somebody to blame. And I think that had he just only said, "Yes, Lord, I blew it. I did not follow your directions. I did not follow your directions. I blew it." I wonder, had he came with that attitude, if the whole mankind would have changed, if our stories would have been different. Maybe we still would have been sitting in the garden, and maybe God's original plan for man would have manifested had Adam been willing to just take accountability for his decisions and his actions. How many of us on this call tonight have made decisions in our lives that we haven't taken accountability for, and that we've looked for others to blame? And as a result of us not taking accountability and looking for others to blame, this thing, instead of coming in alignment and in control and God being able to step in and turn it around, this thing has lingered on. Wait, what do you mean, Coach D? Let me give you an example so you can get a perception of what I'm saying. Giving an example. And this is not to speak against men, because men, women, don't matter. Humans make bad choices. And when we don't take accountability for our bad choices, sometimes they become like a snowball. They start off really small, and then they just get bigger and bigger and bigger until they become overwhelming. I think about child support when I think of this. I think about child support, and I think about someone who chooses not to pay child support. They don't want to take accountability. They know this is their child, and they don't want to take accountability for child support. So they make all the excuses of why they can't pay child support. Either I don't have a job, I'm not paying child support because she did this, or whatever the excuses, whatever the situation is, whatever they want to blame for why they didn't pay child support. And all the while, instead of just saying, "You know what, that's my child, my money's funny right now, I need to make some kind of arrangement so I can take accountability for this thing that is mine, so that now I can work out a plan where this thing is not increasing on me." Most of us will be willing to put our head in the sand and allow the issue to continue to grow and become larger than life. And now we got $56,000, $100,000 sitting over to the side that's constantly gaining interest. We can't even move on with life. We think we're moving on with life because we're waking up every day. We're laughing. We may or may not be going to a job. We've moved on to another relationship, and we think we're living. But the reality is you're not living, because you have this debt over here that's now going to play a part in every decision you make in your life. Because guess what? As long as you have that debt, you're not going to ever be able to go get, from what I understand, a passport. As long as you have that debt, you're not going to be able to go buy a home. Your credit's going to be messed up. You see, all the consequences to that one action, when all you had to do is own it, take accountability, and make arrangements. Because from what I understand, and I could be wrong and somebody could correct me, but had you made the arrangements to make payments, guess what? That will reflect. And if you want to go buy a home, it's going to show that you have kept your agreement, that you're making payments. And so I'm using that because that's one of the first things that came to my mind as an example. Another example could be back taxes, not paying your taxes, and blaming everybody for why you're not paying taxes. Well, I'm not paying taxes because I use this tax person who, in essence, got me a whole lot of money back, but we're not going to talk about the money we got back from that tax person. We're not going to talk about what that tax person had to finagle to get us what we wanted. That's why we went to the tax person in the first place. We're not going to talk about those kind of things, but when it finally catches up to us, we want to look for the tax person to blame, or we want to look to the accountant, the business accountant, our payroll person that holds out our tax. We want to look to them, but it wasn't their fault that you chose to have 10 people, claim 10 people, and not get enough taxes taken out. Now you find yourself owing taxes at the end of the year, taxes that you can't pay. So we don't want to take accountability. And why, Coach D, why are you going into taxes and child support? And why are you talking about accountability? And what does that have to do with tonight? How does that play? Or how does that fare with tonight? Well, it fare with tonight because we were talking about Judas and Peter, and then we started talking about Adam. And the question was, is I wonder what would have happened had Adam been a man of character, integrity, and accountability. Had Adam been willing to say, yes, Lord, I ate of the tree, and I blew it. I didn't follow your instructions. Can you forgive me? Well, I would question you this. Somebody offended you. Somebody came into your home and they stole something from your home. Something very valuable to you. You tell me, what would you prefer this person do? Would you prefer them to deny it and swear up and down that they never took it and that they would never do you like that? Or would you respect the person that come to you and say, you know, I did. I took that from you. And I apologize. I repent that I took that from you. Where does the forgiveness come in at? Because I believe that true repentance births forgiveness. I'm going to say that again. True repentance births forgiveness. So now I'm going to go back. Don't you know that God knows when we are in true repentance? Because repentance means to turn away from that thing. It means to turn away, bow face. And so God knows when we are in true repentance. Why do you say that? Because I hear a lot of people. I actually had a person come to me, a young lady, and she said, why would I want to follow your God? This is what she said to me. She said, because the way I see it, if you guys are merely saying, and when she said you guys, she's meaning Christians, if you guys are merely saying that all a person have to do is repent and ask for forgiveness of their sins, then I feel like I can live my life any way I want to. And on my deathbed, I'll just repent. And I've actually heard some preachers preach that. And so it would have to make you think. It would, if nothing else, it would have to make you sit down and be still and think. Is that true? Would it just be that simple that all I would have to do is say, Lord, forgive me? Or do you not think that God knows the true heart of man and he knows our hearts? He knows when we truly are repentant. Because also in the Bible, it tells us that even though the word of God tells us to confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that God is Lord and we would be saved. And yet it also tells us that some of us, the day is going to come when we're going to say, Father, Father, and he's basically going to say to us, depart from me, I knew you not. So where would the difference be? The difference is it comes from true repentance. It comes from the innermost part. It comes from God knowing our hearts. It comes from him knowing if we truly have a heart of repentance. And I believe that true repentance brings about forgiveness. And that's with God, and I think that's with man too. Because when somebody truly comes up to you and they're remorseful and they're repentant for what they do and they tell you they would never do that again, guess what? You forgive them. Yes, we forgive because we know that that's something we have to do. But I'm saying you don't have a problem forgiving them. It's not a long, dragged-out process. And getting back into the New Testament and getting into Luke, where all this takes place, I will go back to that to say this. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, and Peter loved Jesus. Peter loved Jesus with all that he knew how. He was willing to kill for Jesus. But at the last minute, when he thought that it was going to cost him something, Peter denied Jesus. Wouldn't you think that that's still betrayal? Absolutely. Now, let's talk about Paul in a different light. Because if anybody knows the story of Paul, when Paul was Saul, he was a persecutor. He was going around killing the Christians. So, I mean, isn't that a betrayal to Jesus? That anybody that believes in me, these people are going around killing and persecuting? So, again, I asked you, not based on what I'm saying, what is the difference between Peter, Paul, and Judas? Just maybe had Judas not been willing to give up, just maybe had Judas been able to repent and then not allow and understand that what he was feeling was more of a conviction and not the guilt, where the enemy will have us feeling guilty and then condemnation. I tell you, condemnation pushes us away from God. Conviction draws us to God. And when we operate in the spirit of condemnation, we're drawn away from God, which means that our decisions and our choices that we make are not going to be governed by the spirit of God, but by the enemy. And what it'll do is keep us further in sin. It pushes us further in sin, the condemnation. And the word of God tells us that when we're in Christ, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So this pushes us further into a spirit of condemnation. And it pushes us further into sin. Not it don't take us out of it. Judas betrayed Jesus. And as a result of the guilt and him allowing the enemy to work on his mind, that condemnation then caused him to do like Peter, to repent, to go before the throne, but it caused him to be further in sin. What was the further sin? Because he decided to commit suicide. End his life. The guilt took him so much to end his life. So I'm saying to you today, what is the guilt that you're dealing with? What is the guilt that you're dealing with from your past or your present? Because I guarantee you, if you're dealing with guilt and shame and pain from your past, and you're dealing with it now in your present, you're going to take it into your future. Identify that guilt. Identify that shame. Identify those things, those areas in your life, whether it was choices that you made or choices that other people made towards you that's causing you to hold on to guilt and condemnation. And now you can't even be in a healthy vertical relationship with God. Why? Because you can't be in a healthy relationship with God when you're guilty. Adam was guilty. He sinned. He was disobedient. He disobeyed God. And because of that, he hid. Because that's what sin do. It has us detach ourselves from God. And we want to hide. Because for some strange reasons, as humans, we think that we can hide our sin, our stuff, our garbage from God. And God is all-knowing. He sees what you're struggling with. He sees what that sin is. He sees the troubles that we go through. He already knows. He's just waiting for you to acknowledge it. He's waiting for you to want to be healed, to want to be delivered. He's wanting conviction to bring you to him so that you'll be willing to turn away from, to let it go, to forgive. But most of us are holding on to it. And while we're holding on to it, we think we're hiding it from somebody. And we're not hiding it from nobody, because all alone is tearing us up. It's keeping us separated from God, because God can't interact in sin. Sin separates us from God. So when you're operating in sin, it's going to separate you from God. You're not going to be able to hear him. You're not going to be able to receive what it is that he has for you. When he has a word for you, when he has want to minister to you, you won't hear it. You won't hear it because it causes separation. What I want to do is I want to take a moment to see if any of our callers that are listening in tonight live in the studio, if you have a comment or a question about tonight's topic matter, please feel free to dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or comment, and we will bring you in. We would love to hear from you. Again, we are talking about, and I don't even know how to necessarily put a word on this, but we're talking about what makes us different? What makes us different from Judas, from the Judases in the world? What makes you different from the Judases in the world? What makes your sin, the thing you've done, different? Does anybody else have the same opportunity that you have? If you just don't quit, if you be willing to repent, everybody has the same opportunity at the throne of grace. The same opportunity. And so, again, when you look at the Bible, everything, every character in the Bible, every person in the Bible, should I say, there was something wrong. Again, we talk about Peter denying, and Peter had a bad temper. Peter was hot-headed, and he had a bad temper, but he loved Jesus. He loved God, and God loved Peter. David, when you think about David, David was an adulteress. He had a man killed. He slept with the man's wife, got her pregnant, and to cover up his own mess, he had the man killed. I mean, it don't get no more crazier than that. You think about Mary or the woman at the well. The woman at the well, she had been married many times, and she was living with a man. It don't get no worse than that. So when you think about all these different people that God focused on in the Bible, He did that because He knew that it was that the Denises would come along, and He knew that the Hughes would come along, and He knew we would have flaws, and He knew we would have issues, and He knew we would have bad attitudes. He knew who we would be. And so He loved us so much that He gave an example so that we wouldn't be discouraged, that we wouldn't quit, that we wouldn't give up, that we wouldn't be moved to condemnation, but that we would know that through Christ Jesus all things are possible, that because of Him, because of me, He came and He died because He knew that I wasn't going to be able to keep the law. We have a caller, area code 951, last 4-8370. Welcome to Processing the Pain. You're live.
Good evening. Good evening, my sister. Your topic is really good. And, you know, this makes you think, you know, Judas, Peter, Paul, what's the difference, you know? They all had a relationship with God. Well, Paul was knocked off his horse, but Peter rolled with them. Judas rolled with them. And the difference is that my thought was Judas and Peter didn't get up. Peter was a fighter. Judas was always, you know, he was the head of the treasurer. He had the money. But like you said, forgiveness, I never looked at it that way. And just asking, knowing that Jesus was all about love, and they had to connect with the love of Jesus and the compassion, because Peter knew that he wasn't all that in a bag of chips, you know. You know, he was quick to, you know, go fly off the handle, and Jesus still was there, still was loving on him. He felt bad when he betrayed him, but quickly he felt bad and he changed his ways and he asked for forgiveness. You know, he cried and he wept, and that showed Jesus, and you know, that shows compassion. So me taking it to my life, I think that if we know we're wrong and know that God loves us, and then know that we can go to him. We his kids, you know, we our father. We can go to him no matter how we mess up, and he still loves us. And then we can just get that love and get that, and then we can move forward in the love, and then we can show compassion to others, and we can show them that the love of Christ is with us, and we can go back to our brothers and sisters who we see every day and ask them, forgive me if I missed a mark, forgive me if I talked to you wrong. And now, with that being said, I have to go to someone this week and ask them, because there's something there that I don't know, but I, in my heart, I think there's something I probably said, didn't know why I said it, or they took it the wrong way, but God peeked in my spirit because they, you know, a little standoffish. So I need to ask them, did I do anything or say anything? And if I did, I want to ask you two for forgiveness. And even if I didn't do anything, if I go to them and ask them to forgive me, it's off of me, because I want God to bless me. I want God, I got some things up there I'm praying for, and I don't want nothing to hinder that. But if we just repent, you know, how many times? 70 times 7?
Yes,
we forgive, and how he forgives us, but we can't stay in that. And we have to forgive ourselves so we can move on and do better. That's what I see. And that was that's a great question that you bring to the people today.
Well, thank you, my sister. Thank you for being willing to be transparent and share your thoughts and your revelations on this subject. I just thought it was a great thing when, you know, like I said, it wasn't something that I thought of on my own. My mentor actually had, I was in a meeting, and my mentor said that mentioned it. And when he mentioned it and mentioned that the difference was is that Peter didn't quit.
Right.
You know, Paul didn't quit, but Judas did. And as I began to meditate on that, I realized, because everybody wanted to make Judas like, oh, my gosh, he was doomed for death. And I don't think he was doomed for death. And I think that that's the way most of the world see things. I think a lot of people in the world feel doomed for death. They're hopeless. This is the way my life always been. This is where it's going to be. It ain't going to change. Ain't nothing going to be different. I'm closer to death than I am to life. And when we take that attitude, we take the Judas spirit. We may not literally kill ourselves like Judas did, but we kill ourselves. We're the walking dead because we're not living abundant life. We just living day to day, barely making it, wondering, and we just existing. And in essence, we killed ourselves because that's not what God gave us. Because he says, I give life, and I give life more abundantly, because nothing we could do is of our own power. You know, I know people who finish school with a eighth grade education.
Oh.
Who are successful business person right now. And I know people who went to college that's still working at a fast food restaurant. So I say this to say is that, and it's weird because I'm also keep seeing this saying, and it ain't mine. I don't know who the author is, but it says the same boiling water that softens the potato is the same boiling water that hardens the boiled egg. It all depends on what you made out of. And this all fits right in. And I'm going to repeat that. The same boiling water that softens the potato is the same boiling water that hardens the boiled egg. It all depends on what you're made out of. I would say that the same Jesus that forgave Peter, that forgave Paul, that forgave Mary, that forgave the woman that was committing adultery that they wanted to stone, that forgave the woman at the well, that forgave, the same Jesus would have been the same, that would have been the same Jesus for Judas. But what was Judas made out of? Whatever it was, it caused him to quit. It caused him shame. It caused him to be willing to end his life versus going and asking for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying tonight, and my encouragement is to the listening audience on tonight, what are you made out of? What do you want to be made out of? Do you want to just continue going around living in sin, barely existing? Or do you want to go and go before the throne of grace and ask God for forgiveness and ask God to guide you and ask God? Because guess what? Ooh, hallelujah. When you think about Paul, and I'm just going back to Paul, and I'm going to Peter, and I'm going to go to Mary too, Mary Magdalene. She was a prostitute, and she became one of Jesus' great followers.
Yes.
And if I'm not mistaken, it was her that went back to the tomb and was told, hey, he not here, no, the angel told her, it was her and someone, that he's not here no more. So I say this to you, that each one of them, people who were just ordinary people that went through ordinary things in life, very similar to you and I, they were willing to repent. They recognized who Jesus was. They recognized his presence near their lives.
Yeah.
And as a result of them recognizing that this is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, and they recognized who he was in front of them, his very presence in your life. When you recognize the very presence of Jesus in your life, it will cause you to be convicted. It will not cause you to be condemned. It will cause you to turn away from that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of them, when they turned away from sin, and when they asked, when they repented, they were propelled into purpose.
Yes.
Each one of them have a ministry. When you look at them in the Bible, they're key figures in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Names went down in history.
Peter was the rock. Exactly. Paul was apostle. He traveled the world telling people about the very gospel that he was persecuting years prior.
Yes, he wrote so many books.
They all had a Jesus encounter. And it's not no different today. We're reading it in the Bible, but guess what? It's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. It's the same. Are you having a Jesus experience? Have you had an encounter with him? And if you had an encounter with him, he don't just encounter with you. He's not a flash by. He don't just flash by you and wave. It's an encounter. And I don't know too many people that's had an encounter with Jesus that have not come out of that encounter with a purpose and a passion, something that they believe God has told them that they're supposed to do. And if you're not doing it, it's because you're in disobedience. Nothing more, nothing less. It's strictly because you're in disobedience, because you've already had the encounter. You've already got your marching orders. Peter got his marching orders. The day of Pentecost. He denied him three times, and yet he was the main primary speaker the day of Pentecost. I mean, in Acts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Paul. I mean, just think about it. All of us, and I'm thinking most of us that's listening in tonight, regardless of where you're listening from, whether you're listening live in the studio or you're listening on your internet, or maybe you are not even on right now and you're going to listen at this broadcast somewhere later tonight in a few days. I asked you, have you had a Jesus encounter? And if you've had a Jesus encounter, what did that encounter reveal to you? What did he tell you to do that you're not doing as it pertains to the work of the ministry, as it pertains to kingdom building? What did he tell you to do? Did he tell you to write a book? Did he tell you to start a business, a ministry? Is there someone that he told you to partner with? Is there some place he told you to go to move to? There's no specific thing, because what he told me is not going to be what he told you. So what my encounter with him may have told me to stay right where I'm at and do something. But your encounter, he may have told you to pack up all your stuff and go. Because your encounter is not going to be my encounter. I can't do you, and you can't do me. This walk is an individual walk. You know, it's individual. It was individual for Peter, and it was individual for Paul, and it was individual for the woman with the issue. Each encounter was an individual encounter with Jesus. And each person got their marching orders. They got direction of what they were supposed to do. It doesn't tell us when I talked about Jesus and his disciples, and they were following him, and he was teaching them, and they were with him as he taught the multitude. But it never told us what each person what each person's marching orders were. Think about it. It didn't tell us that, you know, did it tell that such and such is going to go on to have a church and this. I mean, so we don't, there's those personal encounters. And when I said that, I had to kind of stretch back a little bit, because we do know that, you know, the word of God that says that on this rock I will build my church. And we know that that was Peter. But I'm just saying, each one of them had a personal encounter with Christ. And even I think about the woman at the well and the conversation, just how the conversation went, and her still not really understanding and knowing at the time that it was Jesus. And then when she started talking to him more, and he was able to tell her about her life, and she was honest and owned her stuff, then that's when she realized who he was. But guess what? When she walked away with that, even though it didn't tell us nothing else about her further in the Bible, but one thing it does tell us, it really told us that, or we were led to believe that her life was forever changed because of that encounter. So we know that she was changed. Amen. So we know that she was changed, and we don't know anything else what happened. Maybe she eventually really got married. And maybe that Mary lasted until she left the earth. We don't know, but we know she was changed. And every time somebody had an encounter with Jesus, they were healed and they were changed. And he and it wasn't never, you better not do this no more. Oh, how could you do that? Oh, why are you this? Or why did you do this? It was never that. His encounters with them were always healing. It was edifying, and he always sent them off saying, go and sin no more.
No condemnation.
Turn away from it, go away, and just don't do it no more. It was never no persecution. It was never no condemnation. It was never no beatings and lashings like we do now, the Christians. We persecute people, and then we want to know why they're not turning towards God. We want to know why people don't want to be Christians. Because they're not seeing the love of Jesus. They're not seeing the love of God. Because we're too busy pointing fingers. Too busy pointing fingers. Well, with that being said, tonight I think this subject matter was a great one. I pray that you really take it and just chew on it, meditate on it. Allow it to minister to you. If there be the things in your life, I know I got things in my life that this really helped me, because I understand now that God's grace, and that everybody has an opportunity at the throne of grace, that we all have the opportunity to repent. we all have the opportunity to turn away from. And I just feel like this has just been such a blessing to understand that when we want to ridicule somebody, because we could always put Judas on a different level and talk about how bad he was because he sold Jesus out. But guess what? Many of us are selling Jesus out every day in our life, and we say the same thing like Judas. We love him. We follow him. We in church every Sunday. Judas was a, he was one of the 12. He said at Jesus' left hand. He was at his left side. You get what I'm saying here? He was at his left side. He followed him. And so oftentimes we want to talk about people that ain't. Judas, from the outside looking in, he looked just like the rest of the disciples. He looked like me. He looked like you. He go to church. He was part of the group. He was feeding the multitude. He was out there feeding the homeless. Just like you and me. And the same God that loved the others loved him. The same God that loved you loved me. The same God that loved me loved you. And the difference is are you willing to take advantage of the opportunity of salvation? Are you willing to take advantage of the opportunity to repent? A second chance to turn away from? Are you willing to take an opportunity at abundant life, at peace? Are you going to trust him enough that you're not going to just be okay with just living life and breathing and eating and sleeping, but you want to see stuff? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Because Judas killed himself, took him out. But we still, you're killing yourself when you want to make a decision to not make a decision. When you want to make a decision to half serve God because you got one foot on one side of the fence and your other foot on the other side. That's death. Only thing is you're still alive to breathe, but it's still death. It's not life, because life is abundant. And when you're serving God and when you're lined up with the vertical line up with God, he's going to provoke you to purpose. He's going to provoke you to want more, to do more. You won't be comfortable just sitting. So anyway, Father God, we thank you on tonight, Lord. We thank you for the word. We thank you for your presence tonight, Father. We thank you that you visit us tonight, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that you're giving us revelation, that you're giving us opportunity after opportunity, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation, and we thank you, Lord, that we have the ability to repent, to turn away from, Father, and to enter into your presence. Father God, we thank you for the visitations, Father God. We thank you for the assignments that you have given each one of us, Lord, the passion, Father, the conviction. Lord, we pray that you will help us be true to our convictions and not be led into condemnation, Father God. Father, we just thank you, Lord, and we praise you and we magnify you, Lord, and we just pray, Lord, that you would continue to minister to each and every one of us, Lord. That we would be willing to live and not die. That we would be willing to live and not die, Father. That we would be instruments of your love and testimonies to your word, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to thank each one of you for joining us tonight on this episode of Processing the Pain. We thank you for your continual support. We have a lot of exciting things that's going to be coming up. Starting on in November, we have a series that we're doing on Tuesday nights with Woman to Woman that's going to be awesome. Oh my gosh, it's going to be so awesome. I encourage mothers and daughters to tune in the whole month of November, because we got some dynamic things that we're going to be doing in reference to mothers and daughters. That's going to be great. We also have our new show for men that's starting October the 30th on Monday nights, and it is called The King's Table. a Monday night men's fellowship. I'm excited about that. I believe the man of God that God has chose for that position for this season is going to be dynamic. So that's on Monday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then Woman to Woman on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then on Thursday nights, again, Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D, at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Again, we just appreciate you. We thank you for your continual support as you tune in weekly with our various broadcasts. And we want you to truly know that you are loved and appreciated. Have a blessed evening and have a wonderful weekend.